It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed on the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John Graney.
Good morning, Larry Lexo. How are you today?
I am doing great.
It's nice. It's May. Having some nice weather.
It's May.
It's 70 degrees out.
Okay. I think I lost a month.
Couple. This is kind of crazy.
It is beautiful out.
I'm just fearful that, you know, the weather is the same here. Look at my left hand. It's 70 degrees, and then March going to roll around, and the right hand's going to come across with a cold snap that's just going to make me miserable.
So you're saying we're going to pay for this?
I have a feeling. Okay. I'm just saying. All right. What goes up comes down. What? Like the stock market.
Or what goes down goes up.
And comes down.
And comes down. Okay, got it. Well, with a beginning like that, what can I say?
So, we are seeing some incredible, which means unbelievable, stock market performance.
Incredible. I would not have bet. If I had the money, I would not have bet any money on being over 20,000 in the first quarter of 2017 after an election like we came off of.
Not over 20,000, but we are approaching 21,000 quite quickly here. As I just looked down and the market was at 20,600.
Wow.
What does all this mean? Well, if you recall, when we were doing the individual planning sessions in January, we did talk about what to expect in the stock market for 2017. And we made it very clear that there were going to be competing forces. And we were going to see some pretty amazing volatility. I will say so far that all the volatility has been upward, which can make people a little complacent. So hopefully here we can not necessarily put the alarm bells, the sell everything, as that is not our approach, but to be a little cautious, to be a little skeptical. Why are we having this run-up that we're having? If you recall from the tech bubble, the housing bubble, and so forth, the markets are emotional. And the anticipation of something can drive the markets in a direction. And then when reality sets in, they come back to normal. So during the tech bubble, you had some crazy price-to-earning ratio of companies that really hadn't even produced any earnings. A lot of internet-based and tech companies were trading at ridiculous PEs, but they hadn't reported anything, and they were afraid to report something because then once they reported, it could be measured, and people would then realize that they would have to live to be 250 years old to actually see the price, the premium that they were paying for that stock. So we are having a lot of run-up right now, and I believe it is in anticipation of a very favorable tax policy from this administration. Trump has made it very clear that he wants to reduce taxes for corporations. He wants to reduce taxes for individuals. He wants to reduce taxes. And that is very appealing. That is a very business-friendly environment. We have seen companies start hiring. However, we haven't gotten any specifics yet on what this tax policy will be. We've just gotten a lot of talk about how wonderful it'll be and so forth. Not saying that it couldn't be, but I want people to be a little cautious because we will see a downturn. It naturally will happen. And the more that we have this run-up based on hype, I'm afraid that the bigger the downturn back to reality could be.
Well, looking at reality for just a moment, if we look at reality is just so real. Over the last 52 weeks, one of the market measures that is commonly used and talked about, the market measure based on the last 52 weeks of the Dow, the low is 16,166, and the 52-week high was 20,640. So we're looking at roughly a 1,500-point variance, and that's over a year, and that's well before the election. So there's a lot of hype due to the election, but there was a lot of run-up last year. I think a lot of entities still have a lot of cash. They are hiring employees. They're starting to ramp back up. This is, I believe, the better part of the recovery after the 2007, 2008, 2009 recession that we went through. And they're kind of restructuring. And obviously, one of the biggest benefits of tax reduction for the individual is you will now have more money to spend. And I would like to say, in addition to that, more money to save for your future. Don't forget that part of it. Don't spend it all. Start putting some away. But companies also, with lower taxes, will have more money to spend and to save for retirement for their employees and for benefits. So for our entities, for our companies, the various ones that we have, the more money we have, the more money we're willing to spend. And it could be on physical plant. It could be on computers, technology. It could be on employees. It could be on benefits. So the more money we have, the more money I'm willing to spend for benefits of a variety of types. So when is the best time to invest? The best time is today. We don't know where things are going. Those who are still sitting in cash and have been since 2007 have missed a run-up that probably they will never be able to make up because they still are sitting on the same amount of money they had a number of years ago, and you just have to get in. That doesn't mean that you can't pick the high point. You can't pick the low point. Dollar cost average, maybe going in, two or three times or four times over the course of a year, and trying to pick, to get in at some highs and lows is not a bad way of going. But it appears to me the market is on a mission, and I don't see any foreseeable indications that it's going to stop anytime soon.
Are you playing devil's advocate with me?
I am.
Okay. Well, I have a quote here from the senior investment strategist at Ridgeworth Investments.
Ridgeworth.
And he said that this is a market benefiting from Trump fairy dust. And unfortunately, there's a shelf life for that. And I think there's a little bit of truth to that left-handed comment. But, we have to wait and see what happens. We had a pretty big inflation number for January, even by government standards, 2.5%, which is quite a jump from the previous month. If that's the case and the Fed starts tightening, you're asking the stock market to take off during a rising rate environment, which doesn't typically happen. We are at all-time highs, and when you get near all-time highs, I get a little nervous. So again, as Larry mentioned, this isn't a wholesale get in, get out, because we don't know what's going to happen. We can't time the markets. And if it was a proven way to invest, there wouldn't be people in jail for it. But at the same time, I'm just asking people to pay a little more attention, be a little bit skeptical, and don't be surprised if we do have a hiccup and we do have a downward turn. Maybe the Trump policy comes out and the media does not treat it favorably. I can't imagine that happening. But the media doesn't treat it favorably, and all of a sudden sentiment becomes negative and sours on it, and we have a drop. This run-up is, I consider, unprecedented. It's all based on hype. And if we do have a drop-off, it'll be emotional decisions again. So make sure you have the right asset allocation, and just be prepared for the inevitable that this will be a pretty wild year.
Well, your risk tolerance. I had a client the other day, and I'll be meeting with him in the next week or two again. that who indicated that they were unhappy. I hate to admit it, but I do have just a couple of clients who are unhappy with the performance that they've seen from their investments over the past year or two, you know, 2015, 2016, as we do periodic reviews. And my response was, when we began and we first sat down, we did a risk tolerance and we looked at what your time frame was, which is relatively short in their case, less than 10 years. The indication was that you did not want to accept much risk, that you were willing to take lower returns in exchange for not as much volatility. And
I want all the upside, but no downside, Larry.
That's what they wanted. And as I reminded them that if you were then or are, if you are now, willing to take more risk and more downside, then your return may turn out to be higher in the future. Of course, they are not interested in taking any more risk. So therefore, the return, which was 5-6% based on the portfolio we had, was reasonable for a short time frame and for basically the only money they have for retirement. They didn't want to see a 20-30% or more downturn, and we certainly haven't done that, and we have increased the portfolio. So you have to go back to basics. You have to go back to a well-diversified asset allocation portfolio based on your time frame, based on your risk tolerance, based on having good exposure to a variety of areas of the market, as that will change over time. The ads, and I have to chuckle because every once in a while I get a call from someone, typically not a client or existing client, because if they were, they'd know better, but from a potential client. Well, I heard the ads that are on one of the local radio stations or TV or wherever it might be talking about gold, you know, buying gold, hard assets, buying silver, hard assets. And it's interesting because if you listen closely to the ad, particularly dealing with silver right now, and I'll paraphrase, so it's on a lot, so you may hear it, and just listen closely next time, because it said something to the effect that if you bought silver today and the price of silver went up to only half of its high over its lifetime, then you would see a 50% gain in your investment. Well, when you get right down to it, silver, the high point of silver occurred back in the 80s, and it has never gotten even close to where it was back in the 80s. It's been significantly down since then. So even if you went up to half of where it was then, you still would not make any money because it just doesn't work. Look at the numbers. Look at the hard, you know, the graph showing silver over the last 50, 60 years, and make sure that you know what you're getting. If you like shiny coins and silver and doubloons, that's great, but that's not your future investment, believe me.
Well, I've always said if you're going to actually buy the physical gold or silver bars or whatever, then you better buy some lead because you're going to need a gun to protect it.
And I like that.
If the society gets to the point where you're looking at your gold and silver bars, you better be able to protect it, because if you have it and someone with a gun wants it, who do you think is going to end up with it? And then how would you shave off some to get your goods and services? If we're at that point, there are many other issues that we're facing. I certainly don't mind having some of it in your portfolio as an inflationary hedge. There are many ways that you can do it. But I don't like the marketing. I don't like the advertising saying you need to buy gold bars. And you need to do it here. And this is the why. Because what are you going to do with it if it gets that bad?
That would be a problem. And you better have the gun to protect it, because everybody else is going to be after it.
Exactly. So, in a nutshell, look, this run-up here has me a little nervous, but at the same time, there's arguments that on the other side of the coin that talk about, you know, from 2008 until now, we've had some of the slowest economic growth. This has been the slowest recovery ever on record. And now that we have an administration that is business friendly and you know could have potentially some very favorable tax policies, maybe we're reaping that benefit and we're averaging out from the past 8 years where we never crossed 3% GDP growth. So we shall see, but I want everyone to be aware, pay a little more attention to your investment portfolio as we talked about in January. If you revisit plan once a year, do it twice this year. If you do it twice, do it four times, but double your efforts just to give yourself the peace of mind, make sure your plan is still intact, and try not to spend too much time watching the daily swings of the stock market.
Good advice. Protect yourself from the hype. There are a lot of scams out there. There are a lot of people trying to take your money with promises of big results when in reality that's just not going to happen. So I would definitely advise that you take it with a grain of salt in terms of what you're going to be doing with your money and investing for the future.
Absolutely. Well, moving along to our topic of the day. As we mentioned last week, February is our business month. Can you believe we're at the end of February?
I cannot believe it is the end of February, John.
And we will be going 1 week longer into March our next show will have our interview with the business banker that we've been talking about. But today we are going to talk about the various types of insurance a small business owner should have. And I will hand a lot of this over to Larry as he has much more experience than I do. And I hang on to his coattails with a lot of this type of information. He's been a big help for me. But we wanted to go through, I definitely have more than 10 different types, and I'm sure that Larry has even more than that. So what would you like to start with, Mr. Lexa?
Would you like to start with personal protection in terms of what an individual should consider as far as their own insurance needs? And insurance is one of those things. The name implies that you are insuring against an unknown, basically, or a possible known, if you are. So it's a matter of picking and choosing what the most likely things are that may occur over a lifetime. There are a lot of insurance agents out there. We hope that we buy it hoping we'll never need it. We buy home insurance, and the odds of your home burning down or getting blown over by a hurricane or a tornado or being in an earthquake are relatively minor, but we freely buy it. Auto insurance is
low
another
frequency,
type.
High severity.
Low frequency, high severity. We freely buy it because in the case of auto insurance, number one, it's state law. We have to, but I would do it anyway. In the event that not that I would make a mistake, I guess it's possible.
I've seen you drive.
But I am much, much more concerned with these people who are texting and talking on the phone and looking in reading a book. I drove by someone the other day, and they plainly had a hardback-bound book leaning in the steering wheel that they were reading as they were driving.
Driving 101 book.
I kind of feel that I am somewhat ambidextrous, and I do multiple things at the same time, but driving and really doing anything else is not something that I do because I feel very strongly about the fact if I'm moving in a 2,000-4,000-pound metal or mostly metal vehicle, stuff happens. You know, stuff comes across the road. I certainly can speak from experience. Many 35 years ago, I guess it was now, 36 years ago, crossing the Mississippi River Bridge, the Poplar Street, and a large piece of metal fell off of a truck hauling metal in front of me in the middle of the bridge, and there was no shoulder, nowhere to go. I saw it. I was attentive. I stopped. Unfortunately, the truck behind me didn't. So it's one of those things that you just never know. You need to be prepared for everything. So if we're talking just quickly about personal insurance, certainly if you have a home, you have home insurance. If you're a renter, I mean, for $10 a month, you can get renter's insurance, cover your stuff in case it disappears or your roommate decides to abscond and move out along with all of your stuff. Liability insurance, I think, is key because, as John mentioned earlier with in a prior show with his dog Murphy, wonderful dog, but you know, Murphy is big and strong and very, very friendly and loves to play. And if Murphy's out running without a leash and accidentally knocks into one of the elderly neighbors and knocks him over and they break a hip, John's liable. It's his dog. He was without a leash. So liability insurance is certainly important. If you have assets, if you have a home and cars and other assets, certainly a liability umbrella. The name implies that it covers you when other things don't, just like protecting from rain. So an umbrella is in addition to your normal liability, your normal home coverage. Those coverages also often many times cover medical expenses for an individual who is injured in the case of something happening.
So I would say dollar for dollar on premiums, umbrella policy is probably the best bargain.
Well, for $1 million annually of a coverage, you know, you're probably in the neighborhood of $120 to $150 a year. So again, for $10 to $15 a month, the policy would protect you, barring negligence and barring, you know, just stupidity, up to $1 million if someone were to become hurt due to your lack of attention to the details at hand. So umbrella coverage, I think, is a must. Many people don't have it. Some agents talk about it, some don't. I will visit the fact John and I are independent agents. What that means is when we act in your best interest under the fiduciary standard and we review product and solutions for your needs, we're not bound to any particular product, any particular company, any particular solution. I like independent agents. I like independent agents working in the property and casualty insurance business who can insure your home because, amazingly enough, a home is not a home is not a home depending on the types of coverage that you need. You know, basic structure, one, two cars, et cetera. Almost any company can write that. But you add a pool, you add a pit bull, you add with or without fence, you add other liabilities, things that can happen. I know growing up, when my daughter was at home, we had daily events. We had a pool and we had a play area, and her neighborly friends were over practically every day during the summer. That's liability. You have other children there. If something would happen and someone would get hurt or, God forbid, drown, that's a huge liability, and you need coverage for those types of things. So an independent agent, in my opinion, is best because they can choose the company that is best. So on an individual standpoint, those certainly are areas of coverage. You get into the personal needs of disability insurance. The odds roughly are 1 in 4, about 25% of us, or those who are aged 25 to 30, will have a disability at some point during their lifetime, which will last more than 6 months. This could be from an auto accident, could be from illness, you know, cancer or many of the other illnesses out there. And if you are disabled, you can't work, then based on your disability coverage, it would go to pay your mortgage. It would go to pay other needs as far as food, shelter, et cetera. So I think almost every professional, and I've mentioned it before, certainly physicians and attorneys, when they come out of law school, they come out of medical school, practically the first thing they do is buy disability insurance because they recognize if they are not capable of earning money, then someone has got to pay for those bills. Somebody has to pay for the student loans that they now have. So disability insurance certainly is a key. Life insurance, there are, you know, four basic types of life insurance. You have term insurance, you have whole life insurance, you have universal life, and you have variable life. If anybody tells you that there are more than that, then they obviously don't know what they're talking about. There certainly are variations on those. There are lots of variations on the different types of term whole life universal variable, but they all fall into the one of those four categories.
Buy term, invest the rest.
Buy term, invest the rest. I think in the majority of needs, you are insuring against death. You're insuring against losing the not only the partnership of your significant other or family member, but you're insuring against the loss of their income. You're insuring against the loss of putting money away for the future, for retirement, or for other needs. You're insuring against the future value of them being around or not being around. So life insurance and term insurance is certainly the least expensive of those. I have clients now who we placed term policies in force when their kids were young. And we're to the point now, the kids are grown, they're on their own, they're working, doing whatever. And the question is, do I really need to keep the insurance? That's an individual question you have to answer. You know, what is the purpose? Do you have philanthropic feelings that you would like to donate a significant sum of money to your favorite charity or to WSIE if you so see fit? As far as the radio station goes, but if you have philanthropic ideas, sure, you can keep the insurance. If you don't and your heirs, your family doesn't need it, then a lot of people going into retirement, if these state tax laws stay where they're at, really are not going to need a lot of life insurance for the future. So that's one that can go away. Probably the most critical, and then we'll get on to the commercial side of things, today is long-term care insurance. A lot of publications are saying the average 65-year-old couple is going to spend more than $250,000 for long-term care medical during the rest of their life, and many of them have not planned for it. So there are a variety of long-term care policies. The old traditional type they sold 10, 15 years ago pretty much are gone. You couldn't get them for any amount of money. But the new policies, there are a number of them that we have talked about and we'll talk about on another show going into what they are and how they work. But so life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance, your home, your auto, if you have boats, ATVs, whatever it happens to be, pools, you certainly have separate individual coverage. I will mention now, for those of you who like to play and you maybe for Christmas or birthday or just for the heck of it, have obtained a drone. I heard the statistics the other day from the FAA on the number of drones, and it's gotten frighteningly large. You are legally responsible for that drone and where it goes and what it does and so forth. So you have liability if you fly a drone. There are some licensing requirements. I'm not that familiar with them, so check with the FAA. But you likely will have to become licensed with the FAA to be able to fly one. If you damage someone else's property, the drone comes down, lands on a car, you are responsible. If you run into a house, you are responsible. If the drone hits someone and injures them, you are responsible. So I would double check with your insurance, because most standard policies will not cover you for damage caused by a drone or similar type of flying device.
I've also heard that if your drone has a camera, that a lot of municipalities are requiring that you register that drone.
Absolutely. Check with your local municipality, certainly the state. Check with the FAA to make sure, because there are privacy issues that come into play. And if you violate privacy, you can be liable. And again, that coverage is not a standard of what you have on your insurance policy. Don't think, oh, well, I've had this policy forever and never used it, and I'm sure it's covered, because it's not. They have been specifically excluded by most insurance carriers, basically because they don't know what they're getting into. They don't know the liability. They don't know what people are going to do with these crazy things. On the news the other night, there was another incident of commercial flight almost running into a drone that was in their flight path, which obviously had no business, and it is illegal to have a drone anywhere near an airport or in a flight path. So had they hit the plane, hit an engine, brought the plane down, I mean, we could be talking hundreds of millions of dollars of liability, and they will find you. So not to scare anybody, but if you have a drone, you better know how to run it. You better know where you're using it. You better know that you are covered for any type of incident that arises relating to that. So on a personal need, those are the basic insurance. Don't be insurance poor. That's why you need to have a good quality independent agent. Take a look at your your exposure and to assess what you really do need in terms of those personal insurance coverages as part of a comprehensive financial plan. We talk about the comprehensive plan. We're going to ask you about your different insurance coverages, what you have, why you have it, why it works, and what you may be short on and need to add at any particular point in time. So anything to add on the personal side of things, John?
No, once again, you have done a very thorough and wonderful job covering the topic.
Thank you. Some of you may or may not know that we do have our own independent insurance agent as part of the family. My daughter, Christy, is an independent agent and has expanded her coverage. So if you do have a question on something, and you don't have to buy it from her, it's just if you have a question you need an answer, you can contact me. I'll get you in touch with her, and then she can answer whatever questions you have, because she's had experience both on the individual side as well as on the commercial side of the business. And obviously, she carries all of our commercial insurance. We have multiple entities. We have a third-party administration firm. We have a financial planning firm. We have a properties corporation that owns property where our businesses reside. And just looking at what's called a BOP, B-O-P, Business Owner's Policy, is commonly what it's referred to. You know, if you have a company, then you probably need a BOP. And the BOP, in very, very broad coverages, is a special business owner special property coverage, a commercial general liability coverage, and then they have a lot of additional plus coverages that go along with that. And you know, we pay a little over $1,000 a year for all of them. It's not huge, and we're covering multiple companies under the same policy. So you need to be aware of those because, again, you have liability anytime you have a business. Even if you rent space from someone for your business, if you have people coming into that place of business and meeting you, even if you meet them at home or at their home or at your home, you have liability issues that you need to be aware of. If something would happen, if you get hurt, they get hurt, depending. The personal coverage might be everything from personal property. That includes the desks, the computers, the file cabinets, the personal materials that we have with a replacement cost. You also have building replacement cost, which may include demolition if, you know, there were to be a fire or earthquake or occasion. It's got to be demolished before you can rebuild it. You can have something which is commonly called water backup of sewer and drains. That's not covered normally under standard policy, and that applies to homeowners coverage also. If you have water coming in through a sewer or drain, that is not a normal coverage. That's something you have to add to your policy. And if you are subject to that, it can be huge because the damage can be very significant.
Business interruption.
Yeah.
If you had a fire or you have those damages, you may have business interruption where you're not generating the income that you need to generate.
Well, and things that before 1991, you probably never, or 2001, you probably never thought of, but terrorism, business protection, personal property protection, is not covered. So if you, and I think we're probably pretty safe in the Midwest, but who knows? Anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, if you are not able to continue business, those stores around the Boston Marathon when the bombing occurred that were shut down for days, weeks, months during the investigation, lost business. And there, if they did not have terrorism coverage, then they did not have insurance coverage.
Right.
They were forced to rebuild and get back in business on their own. There are computer coverages, which are specific. There are ordinance and law coverages. As your city updates its codes, you may be required to do updates. If you certainly have a loss, then you have to bring it up to current standards. Arson and theft coverage. The income changes during the period of restoration. If you go out and you exhibit at exhibitions, fairs, sales, samples need to be coverage. I think of one company here in town locally who was fairly confident before my daughter Christy did an evaluation of their insurance that they had good coverage. And she asked the simple question, do you have any offsite storage of your furniture that you have for clients? And they're like, well, yeah, but it's only one or two other locations. And, you know, we don't store more than $20,000 or $30,000 worth of furniture there. And I'm sure they're covered. And guess what? They weren't.
They weren't.
They had no coverage for any of their offsite storage. So they do now, fortunately. But that's a question that was asked and answered and we took care of. So if you go out to sales events and do exhibits, you know, cover your exhibit stuff. If you have inventory, that can be covered. Lock and key replacement. Interestingly, if you have a theft or burglary, you may have the ability to have the locks changed under your policy. Premise boundary. If you have a boundary dispute, I kind of know about that, but we won't go there. Limited coverage. You do have limited coverage for fungi. Wet rot, dry rot, and bacteria. So you may or may not have coverage.
Fungi.
If you do not have that coverage and you have a water leak and you develop mold, then it's on you to correct and to replace and fix. Earthquake coverage. Well, many people don't realize that your earthquake deductible can be significant. Many policies, it can be 5%, 10%, or even 20% of your total. So if you have a building valued, let's say at $500,000, and it's hit by earthquake and has to be rebuilt, and you have a 10% earthquake deductible, then guess what? The first $100,000, first $50,000 is on you to come up with. It's not your normal $5,000 or $1,000 deductible. So make sure you know what your earthquake deductible is. Brands and labels, computer fraud coverage, credit card coverage, cap.
Well, that's not an issue.
No, credit card coverage is never an issue, I'm sure.
Now. What about data breach?
Yeah, data breach is a big one. Cyber theft. There are now, there weren't 5 years ago that I'm aware of, but there are now cyber coverages so that if you get hacked and your database is exposed, who is going to pay for hiring one of the identity watch solutions, because you then have a legal obligation to offer that to all of your clients who were potentially hacked. And
retrieving that lost data, trying to, you know, get it back to, you know, just being in-house with you as opposed to wherever it is. I mean, that can run up some significant bills quickly try and get all that back to the way it was.
Well, even for a small business, I was reading an article not that long ago, the average cost of reconciling, of completing a response to a data breach is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So one data breach could cost you a six-figure outlay unless you have the proper coverage. Employee dishonesty is something that can be covered. Fire department service charges and extinguisher recharge coverage. Forgery and alterations, there is some exposure. We're in a business of administering retirement plans, and we have had several instances where participants in plans forged and specifically altered documents to be able to get money out of someone's account, whether it was theirs or a spouse or whoever, and which is, of course, illegal. And had we not caught it and stopped it, then we may have had some liability for not having the proper safeguards in place to prevent that from happening.
About errors and omission.
Errors and omission, certainly. Errors and omission coverage basically will cover company individuals for mistakes. Mistakes that happen. If you have the proper safeguards in place, proper procedures. But everybody, I hate to tell you, John, everybody makes a mistake once
in
a while.
Not me.
Me included.
Oh, just did.
Me included, yeah. So mistakes are covered by errors and omission. If you make an error and it is by accident, and again, you have proper safeguards and so forth in place, then the insurance coverage will make good on that that loss due to your action or inaction, whatever it happens to be. Outdoor property and outdoor signs. Interestingly enough, people don't realize when you have an outdoor sign, that is not covered under your basic property. So someone tooling down a road hits our sign outside our building, In order to replace it, I'm going to guess in today's dollars is probably about a $20,000 bill. That would not be covered by insurance. So unless the other individual who damaged it had coverage, which they may or may not, then it would fall back on you and your policy to replace that sign, or you'd be writing a check out of pocket. So even our country Club Manners Homeowners Association, where I live, we put in a new entry sign, and guess what? I had to educate the board on the fact that the sign, if someone runs into that sign, then if we don't take out coverage specifically for that, and they don't have coverage, assuming it was their fault, you know, I don't think the sign moves too often, so it probably was their fault they ran into it, then it would not be repaired if they didn't have the proper coverage. So valuable papers, misplace, again, goes back to the cybercrime, misplacing a box of paper. Proper shredding, proper document handling is something so that when you have documents, as we do, we have to keep them a minimum of 7 years. We generally keep them 7 to 10 years just to make sure. And at that point, we shred them. We have a shredding service that picks them up. It's a secure service. We have chain of documentation showing that it went out, that they were destroyed and could no longer be exposed. So somebody throwing important documents with Social Security numbers, dates of birth, et cetera, and throwing them in the landfill and somebody picks them up, there's liability there and it can be tracked back to you. So having a properly designed commercial property insurance policy to cover all these things is critically important. Not extremely expensive. Two other examples I'll give you. One, if you as a business owner have an individual who is inclined to occasionally go and pick up lunch for everybody. So it's lunchtime. Everybody goes, what do you want? You know, we want to go to XYZ. And they go, sure, I'll go pick it up. You are liable. They've left business while they were in the course of their daily activities, and while they're in the car, it's your liability. If they run into somebody, you are liable for their action while they were clocked in, so to speak. And there is a separate coverage that's not normally covered on your policy.
Is that why you never let me go out to get lunch?
That's why I never let you. That's why I always drive, John. That's, you know, you got to get that by now. So that is a coverage that is non-owned auto coverage, as it may be. So that you can send them. We had an occasion, we don't do it anymore, but at one point 10 years ago or so, we had a post office box. And it was a duty of one of our staff every day, you know, around 10 o'clock or so, to get in their car, drive to the post office, pick up the mail, and bring it back. Fortunately, nothing ever happened. But had it, it would have been on me and would have been covered by my non-owned auto coverage as part of my policy. So if you don't have non-owned auto and people are going out, and I don't care, again, even if they're just going to pick up lunch, if they're going to the post office, or dropping off your dry cleaning, hopefully not, but whatever they're doing on behalf of the owner during business hours, the owner is liable for that. The other coverage, and we talked about it a little bit earlier on the personal side, is drones. We have a client who is in the business of doing mapping for the government. And they, formerly a military pilot, has his commercial pilot's license and is now certified and listed as a commercial pilot for large drones. We're talking about drones that are, you know, 5 feet across and have cameras and geospatial mapping stuff and allows them to fly great distances at significant heights with amazing topography and picture resolution. And they, you know, are paying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a piece for the drones. It does require appropriate licensing. And there are only, I believe, my daughter told me the other day that there are only two companies in the country today that will actually provide drone pilot coverage. She, of course, has them both. So she was able to place coverage for this individual on the three drones that he now has for business purposes. I know a lot of farmers who have gone together and gotten drones to do crop surveillance, basically, you know, to be able to go out and cover many, many acres fairly rapidly, take pictures, make determinations of how the crop is growing, what's going on. and they are flying drones. And again, they accidentally get over a highway or a road and a drone drops and hits a car or runs into somebody. They are liable. So they need that type of liability on their farm coverage to be able to provide for their benefit. Because again, liabilities is tough. If it goes to court and it goes before a jury of your peers and they decide that you are liable and negligent, it could cost you big time. So having the right insurance, just the right amount, not too much, not too little, making sure that it's covered and making sure it's updated on a periodic basis is the job of your independent insurance agent. And if they're not asking enough questions, then I would search around and find one who can allow you to get the best coverage at the best price, because it varies. Insurance companies will change from year to year as to what type of coverage they want, and likewise, what type of coverages they don't want. There are those that specialize in daycares. There are those that specialize in towing companies. There are those that specialize in bars and restaurants. So there are a lot of different companies out there, and someone who has access to all of the different companies is going to give you the better price and the better policy coverage for your needs. So a quick primer on individual and personal insurance. Did I miss any of the areas that you want to chat about, John? Okay, go for it. It's yours.
I have one. A lot of companies now will have a board of directors or officers of the company. And if you are in that situation, you're a business owner and you have a board of directors, and one of those directors gets some bad public attention. They did something wrong.
Imagine.
Whether it's fraud, tax, whatever it may be, and that gets into the public discourse, you may want to have insurance to protect your company because they are associated with your company. It may come out that they are a director of your company, which may hurt your business, which may hurt your profits. So that would be something that you would want to protect, because you know, I like to say that we know our friends, but sometimes we get surprised by behavior, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a situation that we didn't expect to be in, and we're being damaged because of their behavior. That's, you know, again, it's a low frequency, high severity type of event, which is what you want to buy insurance for.
I'll give you two others relating along that line. One is, I had a friend of mine who had taken a position with a municipality in the Metro East, and he was asked, well, he really wasn't asked, he was given the paper to sign on as a trustee to the retirement plan for the municipality, and he asked me, should I be concerned about my liability? And I said, absolutely, because you're signed in name, you are legally a fiduciary, you have responsibility, and if you aren't comfortable with what they're doing or not understanding what they're doing, I would strongly recommend getting some fiduciary insurance.
I was going to say, that one, wouldn't have heard about that 10 years ago.
They would not have heard about that, but protect yourself, because if the plan goes south and you get sued by the participants or the DOL or IRS comes in.
Or all the above.
Ignorance is not an excuse. You have a legal obligation to know and understand your position, what your obligations are, how the plan works, et cetera, et cetera. So you really don't sign on to a position you don't know what you're getting into. And quickly, I'll relate again when it comes to homeowners associations. If you are on a homeowners association and you are nominated, shall I say, because you're rarely elected, nominated for the board.
Guilted
into taking on a role of hopefully making your community better for everyone. As a director, if you are a 501 nonprofit entity, as a homeowners association, you have legal liability. And I indicated to our homeowners association, I would not even consider it if we did not have D&O directors and officers coverage to protect me against somebody else saying or doing something as an officer on the board that would reflect back on me and everybody else. So, you know, we have D&O coverage, we have property coverage for our sign, and, you know, it costs us $1,000 a year. And, you know, some of the board members are like, why are we spending, you know, $1,000 a year when our entire budget's, you know, $5,000? And sorry, but I'm not doing it without it, mm-hmm. because that's the type of liability I'm not willing to take on in without having the protection just in case.
Something we didn't talk about, and I guess we can do on another show, but I was thinking about keyman insurance and so forth related to the business. That's probably something that we could look at when we do succession planning type of.
Yeah, succession planning and business insurance, that's a great topic. I'd love to get into that in more detail. The most common things we run into are key person insurance, often called key man insurance, but I'm being, you know, non-sexist. Key person insurance is if you have an individual in your organization in any role, could be in operations, in engineering, a management, a sales, whatever it happens to be, and they are vital to the survival and profitability of your business. And they're, you know, you're concerned for whatever reason that if something happened to them, it would have a catastrophic impact to your business, then you do have an insurable interest, which is what you must have to take out life insurance. So you can take out a life policy on a key individual so that if they pass, then the money would come to, it can be owned by the company. There's a variety of ways of doing it. But it can be owned by the company. The money then would go back to the company to help you hire competent replacement or interim management, interim people to keep the company going while you replace that particular position. So key person insurance is critical for that. You can also provide some additional coverage for their family if you chose to do it. There's also key person disability insurance. Again, the same thing applies if you have someone, say they're the controller of the company, and they develop cancer, they develop, they're in an accident, whatever, and they can no longer serve in a vice president's of finance or CFO or treasurer's capacity. Who's going to do your books? You know, who's going to do the tax filings? Who's going to do payroll? Who's going to do all the other functions that you now are going to have to hire out? So key person disability insurance, while they're out recovering, would help to provide the money to the company to hire the replacement to come in and do the duties that are no longer provided for the individual that's out. Another role is long-term care insurance, typically for the privately held business, and that gets into more of succession planning, where we're transitioning the business from one generation to another. We could spend several shows just talking about different types of entity and individual succession planning and when it should start and so forth, but. So key man insurance, key man disability, as well as life and the succession planning are all areas of insurance. Again, not to be insurance poor. You have to become educated. You have to become knowledgeable. You have to assess your exposure and then determine what risks are you willing to accept personally as a business owner and what risks do you want to transfer, because that's what you're doing, is transferring the risk to an insurance carrier.
Well, another good show, lots of good information, hopefully presented in a understandable, common sense way. We'd like to thank the Chef Shop again for sponsoring our show and the wonderful coffee that they provide. I am enjoying the Colombian as expected.
Colombian's good.
But I do have to grab myself some of the Highlander grog.
Yeah, we got to get John going here.
So anyway, my weird news story is actually kind of gross. So if you're just done with breakfast, you may not want to hear this one. But custom agent in Texas stopped traveler from Vietnam and discovered his luggage contained some unusual contraband.
What type of contraband did it contain?
22 pounds of raw animal parts.
Ooh. Smell that one coming.
So there were, transferring 22 pounds of animal parts, including meat, brains, heart, tongues, head, from pigs, chickens, and cows. I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know.
It defies logic. There just is no logic there. Defies explanation.
It was unclear whether the woman, a permanent resident of the United States, will face any charges.
I don't have anything on that one, John. Animal parts. I don't know. don't get it. I thought you were going to say snakes or something, but no, animal parts is even worse.
I have another fun one, but maybe I'll save this story for later.
Well, I've got one, again, on the stupid criminal side of things.
More drugs?
No drugs.
Okay.
No drugs. We're off the drugs.
A whole episode, no drugs.
Was,
okay.
Yeah. This time, it was the... I have known a few people, and it's rare, but I have known a few people that, you know, when they get paranoid, they get anxious, particularly.
The aluminum foil comes out.
They will faint. You know, they hyperventilate and they just kind of faint. And of course, a criminal in the process of acting in a criminal capacity may experience some anxiety, as did a bank robber. This was in Beaver Creek, Ohio, where the thief entered the bank. He had a note to hand to the teller, demanding all of the cash. And when he approached the teller and started to slide the note across the teller line, he fainted. The teller quickly called 911 and the medics. And when she read the note and realized what was going on, of course, she also called the police. So, not to be outdone and to fulfill his whatever it was, in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, he handed the note to the technician and asked him to give him all his cash.
So, for a career choice, you want to be a burglar, yes. Do you have any disabilities that would prevent, well, I faint. Maybe you want to look into something
else.
Yeah,
let's look at some other career instead of that, you know. Because when you're on the teller line passing the old note to give me all your cash, you don't want to faint because it will not turn out good for you.
Oh, my gosh, that's a good one.
Silly, silly criminals. What can I say? Thanks to the Chef Shop, Nancy and Scott, two of our favorite people, located in Edwardsville in the Schnucks Plaza next to Target, 2320 Troy Road. They have lots of good stuff. They've restocked. Believe me, they have restocked since Christmas and New Year's. They're heading to the Easter rush here coming. I can't believe Ash Wednesday is 2 weeks away. It's amazing that the year is going as it is. Thanks to Steve Jankowski, Daryl, feeling much better after his little time off for his health. We're glad to see him back as well. And the sponsors of WSIE, the Financial Cafe. We didn't give the website last time, John, but you can go out to the website, thefinancialcafe.us. It's www.thefinancialcafe.us. You will find on there some good information about the show, you know, a little more information about John and myself. More importantly, you will also find all, gosh, I've lost track, 30-plus shows that we've done over the last 8 months or so. If you have interest in a show talking about taxes, good time of the year to do that. If you have interest in a show talking about how to save money through retirement plans to not pay taxes, we can do that. If you have one about how to choose the right financial planner, you have questions about annuities, we have, I think, 3 shows on that. If you have questions about life insurance, we have at least 1 or 2 on that. Now, we have a couple out there on commercial insurance for your business or your individual needs. So go out, check it out, pick up the show. You can download it for free. Listen to it. If you have questions, send them to LLEXO, that's LLEXOW at Nicol Financial, NICOL Financial.com, or John Graney, JGRANEY at NicolFinancial.com. We would love to share our wisdom, our knowledge, and hopefully some good information about financial topics while we're enjoying a good cup of coffee that is provided by, of course, the Chef Shop, where a good cup of coffee starts out every day right. And I can't argue with that statement at all, John.
I need it. If I didn't have the coffee, I'd be in bad shape.
We would be in bad shape. So, from the studios of WSIE on the beautiful campus of Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, The Sound. Say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.